This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the Bet Rivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's a new week here on Betting Weekly Game Bet Match, number one tennis betting podcast and YouTube channel. With me, your host, Nigel Senior, and our senior handicapper, it's Sean Calvert. For the ATP Tour Game Bet Match. Sean, you're over in, where are you? Palm Springs now?
Santa Monica.
I saw you on Instagram.
Remember, I did that bus journey, didn't I? From Indian Wells to here. Bus, train, all that sort of stuff. That was on Saturday. So
you're the new John Candy. Bus, trains, automobiles, you're the new John Candy.
I've been described as a few things in my time, but never John Candy. I think that's the only similarity between me and John Candy, to be honest. He's about... You could fit three of me in him, couldn't you? I think John Candy, but it actually went quite well. Actually, I was expecting a few more little minor disasters or hiccups or whatever, but it was virtually seamless. Bus turned up on time, you know, no problem. Metro wasn't overly pleasant for an hour on the E line from downtown LA to here, but I've been to Santa Monica a couple of days. I'm flying home later today. So, yeah, it's my last day here in California, yeah.
So I'm not geography and geographically where you are. I don't really know. A lot of people who are watching this, it would be American.
It's just Los Angeles, just South Los Angeles.
So how long does that take you, that sort of route you've done?
It's not that far. It's probably, if you were driving from sort of Palm Springs, well, let's say Indian Wells to Santa Monica, it'd probably take about 2.5 hours, something like that. It's not particularly far. As the crow flies, but obviously I had to go. I didn't have to. I chose to go a slightly more scenic route, just from an Uber to the bus stop, and then the bus stops. I knew that was going to be weird because it's just in the middle of nowhere. But it's hard to explain unless you've kind of been in the terrain. There's not much in that part of the world. It's basically desert with a few sort of petrol stations and, you know, businesses sort of dotted around. So you are kind of in the middle of nowhere. It's not like catching a bus in Britain where you've got a bus stop and a bus stand and, you know, stuff like that. It's just
and a pub next door to the bus stop and a betting shop.
There's none of that. It's just the bus will turn up at this part next to it, sort of slightly next to a gas station sort of thing. So the few is standing around. You're all looking at each other going, is this the right place? So it's a couple of hours on the bus, and then the subway, the metro, which is, you know, the same as any metro you've been on, like New York or London or whatever. You get some interesting characters on there that takes about an hour. So all thing took me about 4 hours because of the way I did it. It wasn't too bad. It was all right. No problems.
So you've left the Cocoon Hotel with the I Love Lucy star, and you've gone in the pool because obviously you look about 5 years younger. So you must've gone in the pool there and refreshed yourself from the Cocoon.
I think that's just the light in here compared to the light, that room I had in the Cocoon Hotel, as you call it, was, it was terrible. There was no, I don't know why they do this in America. There's no lights on the ceiling. It's all spotlights and
getting the most out of you and the money, mate. They're getting the most out of you, the room bill with no electricity, no the lights.
Possibly, but I think because the window is just there, and it's a much, much bigger window. There's much more light. There was no light in that other room. I probably looked like a ghost because there was no light. The only difference between me then and me now is just better lighting, basically.
You can follow Sean's adventures on our Instagram account at Because We Win and also on Twitter at Because We Win as well. From your balcony, I saw like you had a little veranda with a restaurant. Surely they must keep you up at night with the noise and the people eating outside. It must be the vicinity between your balcony and the restaurant seems quite close.
Yeah.
No noise?
It's just there. It's not really.
I was wondering if the noise was making you struggle to sleep or anything like that.
No, it's not really a restaurant out there. That's where you have breakfast. I'm not sure there's dinner out there. Even if it is, I mean, it's not loud. It's quite a sort of laid back place. This, to be honest, it's not. No, I wear earplugs anyway, so
yep,
doesn't bother me.
You're very laid back today. I thought I was expecting you to tell me some stories about the problems coming down and all that, but you seem to be chilled out. The few it's days away has actually done you good. You got the California vibe going, Sean.
Yeah, I've spoke to my friend on the phone this morning. I found myself saying, "Man, I never say that." It's not something I ever say, you know. And
you're going to like singers next.
No, I'm not going to like singers. Not sure. Well, depends on the singer. I've forgotten the question now. What was it?
Oh, no, yeah, so you feel a bit chilled out. You feel a bit. You seem a little bit more. You know, you're not so angry. You know, when you
I'm never angry. I'm just sometimes just incredulous at some of the things that people do and that things that go on. The only thing I can moan about, actually, I don't know whether you can see it out there. So if I could just change this around. I don't know whether you can see it through that window there. You probably can't see it. Through that window is the pool, and it's got this. It's all nice, and I mean, it's a tiny pool. You could, if you wanted to swim from one side to the other, it'd take you about 2 seconds. It's tiny, but they've got this peculiar sort of semi-roof over the top of it, which serves no purpose at all. It's just there for decoration. I think they think it looks cool, but what it does is it blocks out the light, the sunlight. So if you're sunbathing out there, you've got to time it perfectly so when the sun isn't hitting that overhead structure there. So it's a bit annoying. You have to keep switching sunbeds. I was of a mind to talk to reception about it, but
you do that. You
what are they going to do? Do you want us to take the roof down? Well, yes, because it doesn't serve any purpose. It's like a semi.
You make your questionnaire. Put all the questionnaire at the end, and you make that questionnaire through.
Well, they're going to ignore me, aren't they? Obviously, they're going, "Oh, we'll take it down." Yeah, that guy doesn't like it, so we'll spend about £500,000 taking it down.
I think they're alerted to you arriving anyway. I think it's on your passport. I think it's on your visa when you go in there. They'll make sure he's gonna have a few complaints. I think it's stopped at customs.
I haven't moaned about this place yet. Actually, it's good. I've not.
It's the first time we spoke.
No, I mean, since I've been here, I've not moaned to anybody or haven't had any need to kind of seek anybody out for any sort of problems.
I think it's a bit of sunshine, California vibe. You're in that kind of mood and good thing. Yeah? So I like that chilled out. I like the chilled out Calvert feel about it. I think this is good.
It won't last. It's not going to last. When you're
waiting 2 hours for your luggage to come out of Heathrow in about 10 hours, about 20 hours from now, you won't be in that chilled out mode.
No,
when you get sorting the traffic on the M25 because they're closing the M25 this evening.
I'm not driving, so it's fine.
You're not going to be in that chilled out mood. So let's make the most of it, and hopefully this chilled out mood might find a few winners. We haven't had a greatest of tournaments, have we, Sean? It's been a bit of a struggle, this one.
Bit up and down, yeah. Not terrible, but not great. But Indian Wells is not easy. That's why I've not had that many bets. It's probably one of the hardest tournaments of the year, really, because the conditions are changing. And yeah, I try not to have too many bets at Indian Wells because it can, if you do, it can come back to bite you.
We do have four matches tomorrow on Tuesday. We want to talk about when you usually come onto the show on Monday. We're always talking about the outright the future markets. For the tournaments the other week, obviously Indian Wells is a 10-day tournament, starts on Wednesday with the final on Sunday this weekend. So we're at the business end, round 16 on the men's singles at Indian Wells. Some great matches coming up for tomorrow on Tuesday. We've got four matches we're going to preview today. The first match is a really, really intriguing one. Yannick Sinner, obviously now up to number two in the world in provisional rankings. As we stand now, the live ranking, Sinner will be number two in the world. He obviously the Australian Open champion. He won his tournament straight after the Australian Open as well. He's unbeaten this year in Rotterdam. He's up against Ben Shelton, the American who such high hopes are pinned on the American. He came through a testing battle against Serendura yesterday. I bet over 10.5 in set one, and Shelton went to break up, and I thought, oh, I've done the money, go 5-3. He broke him straight back. I've got my money on that one. But this one
we said overs, didn't we? We said over 22.5 for that one.
Yeah, we said then. I mean, we said first set tie break and all the related markets to the overs. This match here is Yannick Sinner defending 100% record in 2024. He's minus 590 with Bet Rivers currently. Ben Shelton is plus 430. The spread was 4.5, minus 129 for Shelton, plus 4.5, minus 4.5 for Sinner is even money. And the total 21.5 here is minus 114 over, minus 112 under. If you look at their two previous matches, they played in Vienna last year, 7-6, 7-5. They played in Shanghai, 2-6. Shelton won the first set. So Shelton won that much. Sinner won the first set 6-2, and then Shelton come back 6-3, 7-6. So both of them have really easily cashed on the over line here. And over 21.5, straight away when looking at his prices, I give a little lean to Shelton at plus 430 in some capacity, but the my main attraction is straight to the over 21.5 at minus 114.
Yeah, I should just point out round four stats, actually.
Yeah, sure.
Just goes back to what I was saying a minute ago. Only two of the last 15 underdogs have won in round four, and it's only 25% of them on average in the last 13 editions. So this is normally around when the favourites start to click into gear. So this one, I mean, I think the problem with Shelton here is possibly how fit is he? How good is that left arm after that almost 3-hour battle he just talked about against Cerundolo? We talked about the cupping that he has to have on that shoulder. You know, and the serve for him is obviously key. You know, even here at Indian Wells, the matches that he's played so far, he has won 80% of his first serve points. So if that shoulder's anything less, that's going to be a problem for him. I feel like the night, if we don't know the schedule for this then, but I feel like if it's a night match, that might favour Shelton, who's just played a night match. Sinner, as far as I'm aware, hasn't played a night match yet. He's only played in the day. It is difficult here to come from daytime conditions to nighttime conditions. So that's perhaps something in Shelton's favour. If it is a night match, we are guessing on the schedule. I mean, not sure. Sinner for me, I'm not totally convinced about him against big servers. He has struggled a bit in the past. Even again, a few weeks ago against Milos Raonic in Rotterdam, I watched the first set of that their match. And I think Raonic was a breakup serve for the set. Ended up losing it in a tie break. Not completely convinced that Sinner is that comfortable against the really big servers. As you said, the head-to-head is reasonably close. The service points won and return points won totals of those two matches, it favours Sinner, but not overwhelmingly, 103-97. Problem for Shelton is he only wins 29% of return points against Sinner. Sinner's held serve 96% of the time against Shelton. So how often is Shelton going to break serve? That's the issue. And if you look at the 2024 stats at main level, it's, you know, off the charts stuff from Jannik Sinner. 100% win rate, as you said. Service points won and return points won a total of 111 and a service hold and break total of 124. So to say that he's in the prime of his career is pretty accurate. Shelton, comparatively speaking, not at that level. You know, 67% win rate, you know, it's decent. But service points won and return points won a total of 103 and a hold break total of 103. So he's got quite a bit to find on Jannik Sinner. So I think, yeah, the overs is where you have to go, I think, here. Assuming that Shelton's going to come out pumped up like he normally does, you've got to fancy the over 10.5 games in set one. That's a plus 225 chance with BetRivers. I feel like, particularly if it's a night match, I feel like Sinner might take a little bit of time to adjust.
Yeah, I love that play. I love the overs in set one. I love the overs in 21.5 in the match. 35 different markets available with BetRivers as we stand now. As Sean said, we do not know the order of play yet for tomorrow, but we do know it starts at 3 p.m. Eastern time, so plenty of time to head across to BetRivers when you do know the order of play. And obviously, in the evening session, we'll help Shelton on this. He has got a slight injury, as Sean alluded to there, but I just feel this could be... I know Sinner's been brilliant, but he's going to have a blip at some stage, you know, physicality. Yeah. He's going to, I just think this 599 does look to me too low. And I think 21.5 is a very, very low total game price when you consider the two matches they've had before. So total games is where we're heading now. Would that be an official pick, Sean, or would that just be a lean here?
Yeah, that's just a lean for me. I'm not having too many bets. I quite like that one, but this is the one I slightly prefer.
So we've got one official pick, the lean on that match, Shelton Sinner over the total games is 10.5 in set number one. Maybe look for a tiebreaker there, 21.5 as well. The next match is a very interesting game, really interesting game for me, because it's Alex Demuyar against Alexander Zverev. And the Australian Demuyar is playing the tennis of his life at the moment. He's inside the top 10 of the world rankings. He won in Acapulco. He's coming in with really great form. His girlfriend, Katie Bolter, won the tournament as well a couple of weeks back as well when she won the tournament. I can't remember if she won the tournament. It's San Diego, I think. Yeah, I think it was San Diego. So the Dominion house at the moment has got cash coming in. They're loving life. They're full of the joys of spring. And he came through a bit of a battle in the first set against Bublik yesterday, but he won convincingly in the second set. He hasn't dropped a set this tournament. He didn't drop hardly. He dropped one set on the way to the final in winning the Acapulco. He's up against Alexander Zverev, who has been a bit indifferent on his form coming in. I know that he played Griekspoor in the last round. If you've seen the YouTube with Griekspoor smashing the rackets and going,
I watched it live. Yeah, it was hilarious.
Absolutely crazy.
One of the best racket smashes of the year so far, that was, wasn't it?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Don't even wear it coming because he hasn't shown that, Griekspoor. He hasn't shown that. And he's a bit feisty, but he hasn't really shown that.
I've seen him do that before. I'm not surprised because he should have won that first set. All ends up, shouldn't he? He had so many chances and I think he was just that annoyed that he blew them all, that that racket was, they only had the handle left at the end, didn't it? There's nothing left of the rest of it.
Absolutely nothing. If you haven't seen it, watch it. Watch it on YouTube. It's one of the best racket smashes you've seen. But the reason I like this match here is because obviously Demiroir is coming in unbelievable form and the head-to-head is 6-2 to Zverev. So there is obviously a market shift and people always bet with the head-to-head. The fact that Minoir won the last match and the only match this year in 2024 is a tight match here as well. But the line here is quite relevant to, and it's quite actually sort of how you would expect the line to be probably on the form given that both of these players are in. Alexander Zverev is the underdog at -107. Demiroir is the favourite at -115. The spread here is 1.5, but you know you can discount that it's 1.5 for one or the other because it's a pick-em match on the money line. The total here is 22.5. Yesterday, when I was watching Demiroir, I know we've bet him before for Wimbledon. I was looking at him to win Wimbledon last night. I was going through the markets. I thought to myself, this kid is on a heater at the moment. He's 10 in the world. He could probably go into Wimbledon maybe 7 or 8 seed. And, you know, he's a grass court player. But 50-1 was the top price I could find. I couldn't bet him at 50-1. I wanted like 6,600, but 50-1 was the best price I could find. He's in some form.
We had him
200, wasn't it? 200.
We had him. I think it was 150 or 200 to one, or 250 to one, or something like that. It was a big price. I remember that he was two sets up against Christian Garin, wasn't he? And I think he surfed the match as well. He managed to blow it, but he's a different player now for sure.
Yeah, he's on fire. And so I'm guessing here because you've been quite negative towards Zverev in this tournament so far, and I don't think you're going to lose out here. So I'm guessing that your official pick may come on this match here.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, you want to be with Demiroir, though, surely.
Yeah, I think the line is about right, which is why I'm not betting it, because I like to have something more value than a line being correct. As I said, Zverev was very, very fortunate to win the opening set last night against Griekspoor. I mean, it's just an epic choke for him, wasn't it? He served for the set. I think he did two double faults in the game. Zverev didn't even do anything. I think it was two double faults, a couple of unforced errors from Griekspoor, and that was it. Handed over the break, blew a 5-2 lead as well in the tiebreak, and then the racket went. So, I'm still not impressed. I just don't think conditions really suit Zverev here. He's never really played his best tennis here. But the head-to-head is a good example of another one where Demiroir is now starting to make inroads against opponents that he's struggled against in the past. You know, he's getting more out of his game now, gets more out of the serve. He's serving bigger, and he's being more aggressive. You know, in the past, he was too keen to just win these really, really long rallies. Now he's realized that if he wants to get to where he wants to be, he's got to be more aggressive. And that's what he's doing. So he beat Zverev in the United Cup at the start of the year, having lost 6 of his previous 7 against Zverev. And similarly, he beat Tsitsipas, didn't he, a couple of weeks ago, having previously lost 11 in a row. So he's starting to turn these head-to-heads around. You can see why if you look at the stats for this season. Demiroir, 85% win rate. And a service points won and return points won total of 109, which is just 2 behind Jannik Sinner. And his service hold and break total is 118. Now, these are top, top stats from Demiroir, and Zverev can't match that. 75% win rate and a service points won and return points won total of 106, a hold and break total of 109. So he's some way behind Zverev on the stats for 2024. And you can see in Demiroir's numbers the improvement. So he's winning just 2% fewer service points this season than Zverev is. We all know Zverev is historically a much bigger server. But Demiroir is now getting almost as much out of his first serve as Zverev does. And importantly, Demiroir is 7% better on return points. So I think the line is right. I think you have to make Demiroir favourite. And if I was betting in this match, I would take Demiroir. I'm not sure it represents any, you know, stupendous value, but I would go with Dimonor here.
I think it's one of them prices that Dimonor at minus 115, you expect them to win, but you were hoping for plus 115, weren't you?
Yeah, I don't. I just.
Yeah. The price just puts you off slightly. You know, you think he will win. He's in great form, but at minus 115, you're not prepared to get him.
No, I mean, if he dips below the level that he's set for himself so far this season, then that's not going to look a very good price pretty quickly. So, yeah, I'd want plus money about Dimonor, I think, or at least evens.
Now, the next match we are going to discuss. Now, I think now this might be the one that you're going to have the official pick here, because I think you might bet Lehecker here. Now, Lehecker produced probably one of his best performances of his career to absolutely blitz Rublev in the last round at Indian Wells. He beat Nakashima in round two. He played Tsitsipas, who was... The match against TFO was absolutely dreadful. The standard from both players was awful.
Why would you put TFO on at 11 a.m.?
It was a terrible, terrible performance from TFO. He didn't obviously fancy it at all. Tsitsipas did nothing as well, but he just beat what was in front of him. And now he plays Lehecker. Now, my only worry with Lehecker all the time is his nerve. I think he's a bit flakier player. I don't really trust him if he gets a bit tight. But if he plays like he did against Rublev, he's got a great chance here. Let's look at the odds. Tsitsipas is minus 215. Lehecker is plus 170. The handicap here for Lehecker is plus 2.5, which looks massive at plus 110. Tsitsipas is minus 143, minus 2.5. And the total here is 22.5. The reason why this price might be the price it is because they met twice before. Tsitsipas has won them both. The last time they met was in Australian Open, where he won very easily in 2023 in the quarterfinal, which was the breakthrough tournament for Lehecker. He won in straight sets. But on the evidence of what I've seen in this tournament so far, there is no way. If you come down from Mars or wherever you come down from, you watch a tennis match and you saw these two playing the last round and you said you can get plus 170 for that player and minus 215 for that one, the plus 170 one wins all the time. Question marks about his temperament though and his nerve. That's a big worry for me. What do you think of this?
I think it's a good opportunity to back Lehecker. I think it's a similar sort of odds, isn't it, to the Mannarino bet that we had the other day. And if it goes as well as that one, I'll be absolutely delighted. But yeah, you got to take Lehecker here. I think it's value. I mean, I've written down here exactly what you just said. Actually, if he plays like he did against Rublev and how he's been playing generally this season, on and off, he's got a great chance of taking down Tsitsipas. I did say in the last preview that Lehecker can bully Rublev and beat him at his own game if he's on form, and that's exactly what happened. He was on form. He was virtually unplayable against Rublev. Rublev didn't play bad. You know, Rublev won 60-odd% of his second serve points. Just Lehecker was that's as well as he can play, or getting on for as well as he can play. He'd have beaten pretty much anybody that was put in front of him that day, more or less. He was that good. Maybe he's not going to hit them heights again. That's the worry. But he has generally been playing that sort of level, not quite that good, but getting on for that good pretty much all season. Question for Lehecker is, can he repeat it? I'm more than happy to take a chance that he can get close to that level at these odds. As you said, Tsitsipas has beaten him twice, but this was a long time ago. It was 2023 and 2022. One of them was 2 years ago. The other one was a year ago. And the head-to-head, yes, it's overwhelming for Tsitsipas, 110-90 in terms of the service points won and return points won. But that's in the dim and distant past when Tsitsipas was playing a lot better than he is now. And Lehecker wasn't the player that he is now. If you look at the 2024 main level stats and outdoor hard, there's virtually nothing between them. Lehecker's service points won and return points won total is 104. Tsitsipas, 105. So very, very slim advantage to Tsitsipas. Here at Indian Wells, I mean, Lehecker's not played that many matches, but his total is 102. Tsitsipas, 103. So however you look at it, unless you're looking purely at the head-to-head, which I'm not sure is that relevant, there has to be value on Lehecker at what, plus 170?
Plus 170. I've got a little way of looking at this match. And, you know, I think that if Lehecker is going to win the match, he's going to win easy. I think if it gets tight, my worry about betting Lehecker is if it gets in tight situations, I think he hasn't got the kahunas to go through with it.
He's coached by Burdich, isn't he? And they do remind me a little bit of each other, yeah. Actually. Burdich was another one you would think if he's about to serve it out, you would leave the room.
Yeah.
But yeah, similar. But he didn't have any problems against Rublev yesterday at all. Just straight in, bang, done.
Well, that's the way he's got to win it. If it gets tight in a tiebreak or a second,
I wouldn't have him on the handicap. Yeah, I wouldn't.
Well, I'm thinking if you like Lehecker plus 170 is a great price, and that's probably going to be where we're going to head in here. But I think if Lehecker wins, he wins 2-0. So I'm looking at +370 to win 2-0. 37 different markets available at Rivers, and one of them is 2-0 Lekker is +370. But I think the 170 price is good enough, and that's how that will be our official play. I'm trying to get it out of you, Sean.
It is the official play. Yeah, I think this is the one where there is value. I mean, as I said, quite fancy to me, but not at that price. You know, you've got to bet the value prices, and I feel like this is the value price of the day.
Yeah, value price of the day. Lekker, who was absolutely unbelievable yesterday. Brilliant performance, probably arguably his best performance of his career. To beat Rublev, who was one of our picks to win the tournament. It didn't happen for him, and he was sensational. And if you can replicate that, +170 to beat Tsitsipas, it looks an absolute gift. 37 different markets, head to the BetRivers website. +370 as well to win two sets of love. I quite like that as well. And remember, if you do go and place your bets on BetRivers, you can watch live and bet live on the BetRivers website. You can watch the match from the comfort of your own home if you do place a wager. And remember that BetRivers are offering a special during the Sunshine Double. BetRivers is offering a tennis net gains parlay profit boost. Each day you can receive a profit boost of 25% or more for a tennis parlay of three legs or more. See the BetRivers app for full details. So if you want to boost up that parlay by 25%, head across for the Sunshine Double special on the BetRivers website. The final match tomorrow is Carlos Alcaraz up against Marazan. Now, Marazan is obviously an opponent that Carlos Alcaraz will be eager to beat because Marazan produced the shock of the 2023 season last year when he beat him in the third round in Rome. Marazan won 6-3, 7-6. And Alcaraz obviously has had injury concerns coming into this tournament. He looked quite good yesterday against Felix Auger-Aliassime. And he's a heavy favourite here. He's -1,115. Marazan is +700. The spread is 5.5. You can get 5.5 start if you want to bet Marazan at -114. And the total maybe looks a little bit low here. 19.5 with over -118, under -108. Marazan has had a good run here. He beat Jarry. He beat Sable the Wild. Alcaraz lost a set against Arnaldi. And I know he played well against Auger-Aliassime, but I thought Auger-Aliassime just was limited against Alcaraz here. How do you see this one going?
I think Marizan's got some sort of a chance of doing something here. I watched all of Alcaraz's match against Arnaldi. I mean, he started poorly, but he has looked better and better since then. To be honest, the first set against Arnaldi, he was just too aggressive. He was going for everything and made about 20 odd unforced errors in that opening set against Arnaldi. But since then, he's been a lot better. It's difficult to back against him when you look at his Indian Wells record. His service points won and return points won total here is 113, and his service hold and break total is 124. So he obviously absolutely loves the conditions here, and you can see why. He gets slow, high bouncing. You know, it's similar to clay in many ways. But Marizan's a big match player. You know, he's won 10 of his 12 main draw matches at Masters 1000 level. And he's 2-0 win-loss against top 10 opponents. Alcaraz was one, Casper Ruud was the other. So he's clearly a player that isn't fazed by taking on big names. Some players are. He obviously isn't bothered by it. He doesn't, you know, these reputations don't worry him. And at big tournaments as well. It's not like he beat Alcaraz in one of the 250 or 500 or something. He's taken him down in Rome. So he's obviously not going to fear Alcaraz. He's also got some excellent stats at Indian Wells. Only three matches, though. I mean, his service points won and return points won total is 115, and his hold and break total is 122. It's only three matches, so it's a very, very small sample size. But he obviously enjoys conditions here. He knows he can beat Alcaraz. I thought it was interesting, Alcaraz's quotes he mentioned after the Felix match. He was talking about he wasn't confident. He was really suffering from a lack of confidence when he was in Buenos Aires. He lost, was it to Jarry? I think he lost, didn't he, there?
Yep.
And he was saying he's in training, he's had to kind of really biff himself up to try and get that confidence going. It's a difficult thing to understand if you're number one, two in the world, you're lacking confidence, which goes to show you that even the best players, sometimes they're lacking a bit of self-belief. But I think the last four sets that he's played here, well, I feel like he's going to be feeling pretty good about his game, especially in the conditions here. So I think you're right there. I think over 19.5 games is perhaps the way to go here. I think that was a -114 chance of BetRivers. I feel like Marizan's got something to offer in this matchup. I suspect he'll push him closer than Felix did. I didn't really give Felix any real chance of doing much at all against Alcaraz. But I think Marizan, he comes here, he's not going to expect anything really. You can play pretty loose, and yeah, I feel like you can give him a decent test. Yeah.
The line has moved slightly. It's -118 now over 19.5, but I think that's a decent play. So four matches tomorrow. There's also four matches on the women's draw, including the Igor Swiatek, the tournament favourite, and the world number one is in action as well. Head to the Bet Rivers website. We do know the order of play, but we do know that it starts at 3 p.m. Eastern time over in Indian Wells. 38 different markets available in all these matches. You will not find a better array of markets across the United States of America than what Bet Rivers are offering. Remember, you got that Sunshine Double bonus of 25% boost on your parlay for three legs or more. There's eight really fascinating matches to choose from to get that parlay boost. Sean, you're off traveling back. What time is your flight this evening?
7 o'clock local time.
So you've got a few hours left before you travel back to the UK. I think we won't be doing a podcast tomorrow. Sean will be recuperating from his travel, and we'll probably be back on Wednesday afternoon to look ahead to the latter stages of the tournament. If you want to follow our stuff, you can follow us on Instagram and on Twitter at Because We Win. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, Betting Weekly Studios. Huge amount of followers. Thank you very much. I keep saying the same thing, but thank you very much for all your comments. We'll keep them coming. Really, really boosted by the amount of people who keep following us and asking us questions and really enjoying the show. So thank you very much for your comments on that. And obviously you can download the podcast, Betting Weekly Game Bet Match, on your preferred podcast provider. Sean, before we go, just give us your wrap up. Just the one official pick.
Yeah, Laeker. I think we're taking Laeker on current form at +170. I think he is with Bet Rivers to beat Stefanos Tsitsipas.
That is the bet. +170, Laeca to beat Tsitsipas. Have a little bit of pizza money on 2-0 Laeca, because if he wins, he's going to blow me away. +370. That's what I quite like as well. So we're on the Laeca train tomorrow. I don't know. That could derail at any stage.
It could, yeah. With Thomas Berdych in your camp, anything could happen, yeah.
Sean, thanks very much for all your time over there stateside. Enjoy. Have a very safe journey back as well. Follow Sean's last few hours on Instagram account. And thanks very much for watching. And we'll be back again on Wednesday looking at the quarterfinals over in Indian Wells. Take care.